1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Mayor Rubin in New York. Black Friday shoppers were out in force, and Michael George tells us they're not done.
It's estimated a record 166 million people are planning to shop in-store and online during the holiday weekend, almost 8 million more than last year, and many are finding deals.
A lot of retailers are in a position where they have a lot of inventory. They have a lot of things that they want to move through, which means for the shopper, discounts, bargains, sales.
And small businesses are hoping you continue that spending spree today.
Small Business Saturday after Black Friday encourages Americans to shop small. Started by American Express, it urges shoppers to spend their dollars at smaller establishments to help local business owners compete in the retail marketplace. With inflation taking a bite out of available dollars and consumers spending frugally, shopping small is seen as a way to shop smart and help neighborhood businesses stay in your neighborhood. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
And while many of us were out shopping Friday, Amazon workers were striking. WWJ's Ryan Marshall reports.
The organizers held signs along the streets and marched as part of their Make Amazon Pay Day of Action, which is happening nationwide and across 40 countries worldwide.
The Walmart supervisor who shot and killed six co-workers in Virginia left behind a death note. He detailed being harassed by his co-workers, and police say he bought the gun legally the morning of the shooting. Russian President Vladimir Putin met with a group of mothers of soldiers on Friday. He told them that Russia will win. Holly Williams reports Ukrainians disagree.
From rocket systems to anti-tank missiles, American weapons have been game-changing in Ukraine, helping its soldiers recapture swaths of territory. Petro Poroshenko is a former president of Ukraine who told us defeating Vladimir Putin in this country is really about defending democracy across the free world.
There was another alarming incident aboard a plane. CBS's Christina Ruffini says this one happened aboard a JetBlue flight.
He immediately is like yelling. He's like, this ain't no 9/11. Just land the plane and everything will be fine.
A passenger talked him down, disarmed him, and sat next to him for the duration of the flight, according to police. But the incident comes just days after a passenger wielding a box cutter forced an emergency landing on a Frontier flight from Cincinnati.
Team USA stays alive. The match against England ended in a 0-0 draw. They now play Iran next week. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows dip down to about 30 overnight under clear skies, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, high of 54. Lows around 30 tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. Much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Sunday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently it's 37.
7.com. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happy hour, the Friday edition. We air the grievances. My grievance, a special counselor. I wanted to go straight to the indictments. I wanted to clear this Merrick Garland Day up in here. But anyways, going to get a better man than you to talk about it, Dom. We got our good friend, former U.S. Attorney James Santelli. He's joining us right now live via Zoom. He is also the host of his own big show, and you're going to want to tune in tomorrow morning as he goes inside Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Network, originating from the Shaw, W-A-U-K. Jim, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, man. You always move with alacrity, sir.
Hey, Jim. You know, we do what we need to do, especially for an appearance on this important program. So glad to be with both of you.
Jim, first reaction. I know you had sent a first blush, and I've been talking about the fact this just seems like another unnecessary step in the process, a time-eating step in a process. And ultimately, if I understand, I'm only going by a column by Jennifer Rubin, but if the special counselor ultimately doesn't have ultimate charging decision, if the ultimate charging decision comes back to the attorney general, well, what are you asking your buddy? I mean, do you need to cheat off his homework, or can you just do your own work and get to the indictments already, Merrick Garland? Your thoughts, counselor.
Right. And perhaps in a way that harkens back to history once again, you know, we've been down this road before. And again, I begin by saying that I have great respect for this attorney general. At the same time, I was surprised to hear that for a couple of reasons, some of which have been articulated by my now former colleagues, also former U.S. attorneys under a prior administration, including a woman named Barbara McQuaid, a great friend and colleague of mine, who also said time is everything. And I think that's what is implicit, if not explicit, in your question, Mike, which is that we have now been focusing on this for nearly 2 years. We knew in the afternoon of January 6th that something horrific had happened. We didn't know all the dimensions of it, but we've been investigating this presumably in all its dimensions, or nearly all its dimensions, for 2 years. I am concerned that the insertion of a special counsel here, admittedly coming in the midst of an investigation, admittedly charged with doing this as quickly as possible, nonetheless, for the reasons you've identified and others have identified, may in fact slow this down when the calendar tells us the big story, which is January 2025. We don't know if this present administration will continue beyond then, but we basically have two years in which to prosecute. And to the extent that this may extend that time period for the review, the investigation, the prosecution memorandum, all of this gives me great pause about the timing of this and the possibility that it might be delayed in some way. Hopefully that won't be the case, but that is the concern I think that many of us have on the outside looking in.
Jim, you know I'm chock full of inarticulate crudeism, so far be it for me to split the infinitive with Dominic, but
there's one.
The impropriety, the statement that, you know, the appearance of impropriety has...
Avoiding even the appearance of impropriety, Jim.
But right. What impropriety has gone on to this point? There's always going to be accusations of political witch hunt. So this is bad vocabulary and someone taking the bait.
Right. And that's, I think, the much related concern that I think I and others have out there, which is just this. I know the Attorney General said because both Donald Trump has announced his candidacy and the incumbent has also indicated that he is going to run, that for that reason, it's appropriate for me to put this arm's length decision making process at the arm's length and go down this road. Your point cannot be overstated, which is that's what the role of the Department of Justice is, to be an impartial investigator through the FBI, its other many agencies, to be impartial and apolitical when it comes to making these decisions. We ask this of U.S. attorneys and assistant U.S. attorneys every single day of every single week, 7 days a week, to make these judgment calls, many of which are not in the political arena. I get that. And yes, this is the top of that list. But nonetheless, we do this all the time. And so this notion that somehow there is going to be this perceived wild perception of impropriety. Yes, there will be the attacks. We've already seen them from Donald Trump arguing about this. If we go down that road and consistently say that anytime there's a politically related investigation and possible prosecution of a candidate, we can't be doing that without appointing a special counsel, then we're carving out a huge amount of responsibility that's never been there before with the Department of Justice. There are people who can do this work. They do it all the time. They're doing it now. And so once again, with due respect, I'm very concerned about the predicates for this, the timing of it. And again, we've got the functionality, if you will, to do this now. Go ahead with it.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Man, you know, I love you, Jim, but what? Carve out a big spot. I mean, this is a very specific case. I mean, right, we have an attorney general appointed by the current president who would be the presumable running opponent of the guy who just announced who's been being investigated. I mean, there's not very many pegs that'll fit in those holes, man. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a huge carve-out, Jim.
Well, and to the extent that you're right, as I said, it's at the top of the list, certainly, because you are going to be making decisions premised upon, again, what the evidence shows.
Sure.
The point that I would make once again, that's the kind of thing the Department of Justice is required to do. And is should we be doing this in a situation where because every single pundit tonight and for the next several months is going to be talking about this, that's what drives the decision about how the process works. We've talked a lot on this very good broadcast about the importance of having a separation between the White House and the Department of Justice. I looked at this particular Department of Justice and I see Joe Biden consistently saying, I don't know what's going on over there, not in a bad way, but in a good way. And I think that again, this Department of Justice has established in its admittedly infancy, it's 2 years, has established a record that doesn't smack of the kind of political movement that you would otherwise anticipate. Gosh, the fact that we've spent all this time investigating suggests that there is a very meticulous, thoughtful way of addressing all of this. And so, yes, top of the list. But again, my own sense is that this is something that the Department of Justice can do. And again, I get back to this concept of time. I hope that this does not delay things. Yeah.
Jim, I think there's also, you know, there's the stink of the last Justice Department administration. I mean, Bill Barr certainly did not do all those things that you think that the current attorney general is doing, right? So given that, I think he needs to be the Department of Justice specifically, knowing what Garland inherited over there from Barr. This isn't for you or I. This certainly isn't for the mega. I mean, this is for the American people who don't want to see and maybe not dialed in as much and don't do this every day and care as much as we care. And, you know, lots of things to pull people's directions and priorities. Totally understandable.
Right.
But I can understand how they would be concerned, or the general population could be concerned, as I would be if I saw all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, we don't want to see a Department of Justice prosecuting the former executive, just, you know, for political reasons, and because now he's running, right? That's you got to be very careful about that. And given the from what I've heard of Mr. Jack Smith, sounds like he's dialed in, man. This guy sounds like a bulldog. And given all those circumstances, I mean, if we lose a week, maybe
it's more than a week. Tell him, Jim.
What do you think? How much time are you really thinking, given this guy's qualifications?
Right. I am really hesitant to speculate on that, because I don't know about the extent to which things like, is he going to be bringing in some of his own colleagues and staff? Plainly, we recall when Mueller came in, assembled his own staff. We know that there's a significant amount of staff already inside the Department of Justice been working on this. If he walks in and maybe brings a few people in and otherwise has to get up to speed, it may be a matter of weeks. And so maybe my time concern is not quite as great under that circumstance. On the other hand, there is a sense in which we're, again, changing not bosses, but we're restructuring the way that we're supervising all of this. And that will take some time along the way. To your first point, again, I concur in that notion that the public should have confidence in whatever decision is made here. My concern is simply that this is about some civics instruction, once again, which we often do on this podcast, the law school too, that again, this is the what we had in the last administration was the aberration and not the rule. Under prior Republican and Democratic administrations, you did not, with some small, I realize, again, we've got Richard Nixon, Donald Trump is huge, huge problems. But for the most part, throughout our history, we have had departments of justice that have been independent, have made these good decisions along the way, and done so without the kind of public outrage that we saw in the last administration. And again, I think we need to get back to that normalcy, if you will. We've got a Department of Justice that people can trust and know that the chief executive is not picking up the phone and calling the attorney general and saying, what are you doing to prosecute my political enemies? We're living in the wake of that. So maybe this is plainly Merrick Garland's attempt to address that concern in the wake of history. We need to find a way to get back to normalcy when the Department of Justice can do this as a matter of course. That's its assignment. That's the rule of law assignment that every attorney general has.
Jim Santel, do you know Jack Smith?
I do not, no. I've heard of him because, of course, his overseas engagement. And as Tom, as you just said, wow, incredibly well experienced here, truly knows what he's talking about. So no concern about that at all. And perhaps if there's anybody out there who can move in, he knows the Department of Justice, knows how prosecutions work, knows how investigations work. He can move in as swiftly as anybody more than anybody on the face of the planet can. So that's not the concern. It's just these other institutional issues that give me pause tonight.
Jim, would it be Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice seeking prosecution ultimately if this special counselor Jack Smith says there's there, it still goes right back to Merrick Garland, does it not?
It does. If we follow the pattern of the Mueller investigation, which is, again, if you will, a recommendation, ultimate charging authority, as you said a few moments ago, would still rest with the attorney general. And again, hopefully not extending that too much in terms of time. But it does, it accomplishes things positively, but also raises those other timing issues.
James Santel, I want it now. Come back with us. We'll do a little Veruca Salt and talk more with Jim Santel.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The devil's advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's calling up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius.
Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwy.com.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 33. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 55 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 37. Cloudy skies expected. Upper 30s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you check us out online on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at The Devil's Advocates Radio.
Dominic, I'm going on the road this weekend. Next you hear from me, I'll be broadcasting from glorious Avery, Wisconsin. WXCE Lake Air, baby. I'll be up there at our new facility. Jim Santel, our fine guest, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, and of course, the host of Morning Cannolis every Saturday morning, 9, right up to the kickoff of the Badger game tomorrow morning at 11. Jim, you'll be the Badger pregame show as you recap. Gotta mention, Jim, what's the 12th headline on the Foxy News right now? If I look down 12 stories on the Foxy News Digital, their take on this special counselor is Trump says he won't partake in special counsel investigation. That is the 12th story on the page on Fox News. They're not exactly accentuating the special counsel appointment. Jim, I don't think Trump will be encouraged to partake in this prosecution so much as be a defendant thereof. What do you think, sir?
It is an odd infinitive to partake. I know that both you and Dom will sometimes partake of good foods and other things in the world, and that's a very positive thing to partake in something. But again, criminal investigation and criminal prosecution is not one of those kind of voluntary things that happen. Let's assume that the special counsel now is immediately taking responsibility for this investigation, getting his designation, getting his authorization to go forward. We'll be plainly working on a lot of information already assembled by government investigators, by colleagues with whom he'll be working. And again, all of that will proceed according to the way the Department of Justice normally works. Grand juries, plainly convened, already underway, summoning witnesses. It may well be that at some point, one of those grand juries will issue a grand jury subpoena for Donald Trump. It's done that in other circumstances. And under those circumstances, you've got an obligation to show up. What you testify about, you've got some privileges you can certainly invoke under the Constitution, other kinds of privileges. But the decision about whether or not this goes ahead and whether or not Donald Trump approves of it or not, that's not his to make. And in our system of justice and the rule of law, whatever the grand jury decides, whatever the special counsel may recommend in terms of presentation to the grand jury, by the Attorney General and others. That's a matter for the executive branch to decide. Involve, if you will, some consultation with Mr. Trump's attorneys, but it is an executive decision to make, and that comes out ultimately from the voices of 26 people or members of the grand jury.
James Santel, our fine guest, host of Morning Cannolis, right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Jim, there's also a civil trial going on of the Trump Organization, and I want to turn my attention there, but before I do, Eric Trump, who of course is part of that organization, the old man said he would not partake. Eric Trump said the appointment of the special counselor, Jack Smith, is communism. Jim, do you agree with Eric Trump's astute assessment, question mark?
No, it's not, Eric. It's not communism. It is frankly, if anything, it's just the opposite. It is the separation of powers that we have pursued for 240 years in this country. And it accomplishes, again, not without imperfections, but we deliver basically some rough forms of justice and sometimes some very refined forms of justice as well. This is not communism where a number of people make the decisions. What did I just describe? You've got decisions made by investigators, by prosecutors about how to pursue a case. You've got members of a grand jury who are members of a court entity. Remember, this is not the executive branch. You present this to a grand jury, a court entity. They make a determination about whether or not there is an investigative support, probable cause to find that there is a chargeable offense here. They return an indictment. Judges then review that, their motions, there are all sorts of hearings for suppression. And we ultimately go to a trial, we get a petit jury. I'm just going down the list of constitutional protections that are not true for the most part in communist nations that are a part of our not only tradition, but our practice here. So, Eric, regrettably, he's just plain wrong. Imagine that.
Jim, James Santel, I hope you're sticking around for at least one more segment. Good. We'll get to the civil stuff.
You I said just I was maybe, done, but go ahead.
Let me just throw this one out there. The special prosecutor is going to specifically focus on the Mar-a-Lago secret documents case and persons and entities involved in the attack on the Capitol and the certification of the electoral process. And they and Garland specifically said that, you know, anybody who was physically on the ground and any other things that maybe not yet been charged will be taken care of by the local U.S. attorneys in D.C. Jim, is there anything to read into? What do you read into with the separation of these different prosecutions?
Right. So we know that there are something in excess of 900 people who've already been prosecuted by the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. We talked before about this huge resource draw that accomplishes. That will continue. And so it doesn't affect those people who have been the subjects of those. What he is doing is he is saying, let's focus now. And we also know we've got the Stuart Rhodeses and the Proud Boys, and the Oath Keepers. That's still going on. What he is saying, again, to his good credit, is saying, I'm assigning this special prosecutor responsibility for looking at the top of this. Let's look at the people who are responsible for putting this in place. Those other areas, those continue unaffected by this. Can there be consultation between them? Absolutely. They're all part of the Department of Justice. Yeah. That can happen. Will there be people who perhaps cooperate one to the other? Sure, if it's appropriate to do that. But he's dividing this up not only because it's right to do so, it ensures that this special counsel will have focus and will presumably direct his attention, that of his staff, on just these higher levels, and the others still go ahead.
Our fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney. Jim, the Wisconsin Capitol Rotunda is now graced by a gorgeous Christmas tree. And it's been my tradition to go decorate the tree. You want to join me, Jim? I think I got some ornaments left from last year.
It is the holiday spirit and period, both of those.
You know, all I want for Christmas this year is a Trump indictment. And we'll declare it Jack Smith Day. Every day is James Santel Day, at least when he comes around. And of course, Saturdays, because Morning Cannoli's on 9 to 11. You're going to listen tomorrow morning, but you're going to stick around because Jim's sticking around with us. More Devil's Advocates, more James Santel.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
Six more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, that this department is reaching out to the community, and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
We all know to dial 911 to reach law enforcement and protective services. And now community information and referral can be reached with an easy-to-remember three-digit telephone number. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Who provides respite services in the community? They know. Where can you find your child a tutor or mentor? They know. Find the answers to these questions and more by dialing 211, the place to get connected and to get answers. Dial 211.
The Devil's Advocates.
Well, if the rapture comes, I hope they take me and leave Dom.
If the rapture comes, we'll be here tomorrow, Mike, taking your calls. We certainly appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Come on, man. You must mean the royal we.
So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Hey, if you want to go meet your maker, Crudy, don't let me stop you.
I'm your maker.
We've
already met him.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 30 overnight under clear skies, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, high of 54. Lows around 30 tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. Much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently it's 37.
We air the grievances up here. Our guest is not one of them. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel, our good friend. Jim is also the host of Morning Cannolis. Every Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m., right here on the Civic Media Network, you can tune him in and then catch the Badger game tomorrow at 11. Why don't you start with WFHR? That's sort of our Badger lead station, but you can hear it in Amory, you can hear it in Richland Center, and you can stream it all across the state. Jim Santel, thanks for sticking around. If I may, Dominic, I'd like to turn our attention back to the civil trial of the Trump.
Yes.
All Jim, right. This in any other circumstance, any other day where there wasn't a Friday news dump special counselor named, this would kind of be a big deal. The CFO has effectively testified the Trump family discovered the fact that he was cooking the books. Now, they'd been signing the checks the whole time, but they discovered, air quotes, when they were cleaning up the books after the old man won the presidency in 17, that he had been effectively cooking the books. They had written direct tuition payments to his grandkids' private school, up to $100,000 a year, private leases on Mercedes-Benz. All of that had apparently slipped their mind, Jim. But when they discovered it, when it was brought to their attention, not only was he not punished, he was not terminated, he was given a $200,000 a year annual raise. It's almost like they knew he was doing it and they were okay with it, Jim.
There's some great, fascinating intellectual and legal aspects coming out of Alan Weisselberg's testimony beyond his tears. And he does say along the way that he feels as if he let the corporation down, did not honor the trust placed in you, and embarrassed by what he did more than you can imagine. He says all those things. A couple of points about your good question. One is, it's very important for the prosecution here to have someone like that describe exactly what the corporation did. Again, remember, it's a corporation that's on trial here, and you always need to have somebody in a position of responsibility or authority, a CFO, that's what he was, and that he was and still is, as we also right. work every day, as does his deputy, apparently getting six-figure salary every day, which is also interesting. You've got to have somebody to come forward and say, this is what I did on behalf of the corporation. And so the case, I think, about against the corporation seems to get stronger every single day as he makes these admissions about what he did on behalf of the larger entity. At the same time, it certainly does open up the next, not only speculation, which the jury is not going to have in front of it. Donald Trump's name, the names of his children are not on this particular verdict. It is the Trump Corporation. But to the extent that there was knowledge, again, discovered at some point, and nothing is done about that, that can also be the source of a certainly civil prosecution, criminal prosecution, doing something not to remedy what you know is criminal behavior with your knowledge. Arguably may bring you into the conspiracy to do that, may make you complicit in it, you may be an aider and abettor, all those kinds of things can be implicated. So the testimony, significant in and of itself for this trial, but also revelatory about what the Trumps themselves were doing, and raises this other very difficult thing that Weisselberg is finding himself in the middle of, that is being honest, if you will, about what he did. And he's trying very hard not to implicate the Trumps. We'll see if the jury on this buys all of that and chooses just to buy all this testimony that does implicate the corporation. It's a tough thing to do. And the defense has made use of this as well. They've scored some points knowing that Weisselberg is trying to ride this right down the middle, not with complete success.
Well, they're seemingly... is the appearance of impropriety, Jim. See what I did there? I got to tell you, my friend, I did read the reporting of the courthouse testimony given by Weisselberg, where he apparently tried to fall on his sword and said, no, they didn't know, although there seemingly is some perjurious contradictory testimony. But at one point he said, no, they didn't know I was doing this. That begs the question of me, Jim, then why is he getting a break? Then why is he getting a 5-month sentence if he has committed this major fraud? If he is the only complicit party, well, then who's he rolling up on? Why is he not doing the 15 years that the federal sentence would normally recommend?
Right.
And we are certain to hear that from defense counsel in closing arguments. That is that, the information about his pleading guilty. Why are you here, Mr. Weisselberg? Well, I'm testifying again on a government subpoena. Have you entered into an agreement? Absolutely. I pled guilty to 15 counts. This is the anticipated sentence I'm going to get. Is that the kind of stuff the jury takes a look at and says, gee, is this guy credible? What's going on here? And wonders more generally, and this is what we always had to deal with as criminal prosecutors on behalf of the government, what is the larger story here? And again, juries are instructed to focus on the facts of a particular case, but to the extent that they're wondering about this particular fellow, here's the argument from the defense, getting a deal with a capital D. for that, is he testifying in a way that he wouldn't otherwise testify because he's bargained away his own liability, his own culpability in exchange, again, for a lesser sentence here. That's something the jury can, in fact, consider in determining whether or not there is a conviction, rather, of this corporation. And so all those kinds of things, and the defense counsel is going to raise exactly, Mike, what you just articulated.
Jim Santel, our fine guest, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, I'd like to think. Jim, I'm sorry. I had a insurrectionist guy just taped something on the window here. I got momentarily distracted. I'll remember my point in a minute, but you're up.
I got one for you, Jim. Given the circumstances, and I think Crudy makes a good point, I'm not clear that the testimony provided by Weisselberg is worth the break he's getting. I'm not clear yet. But that being said, if Weisselberg got on the stand and said, Donald Trump ordered the code red, all the kids made me do it, right? If he had said that, well, certainly the jury, I mean, who does something with that information? Where would that information go? If Weisselberg testified as we would like him to, what would happen at that point then? Because they're still focusing on the Trump Corporation. What would happen to that information?
Absolutely. That would be, again, I like to think that might even be a higher headline today than would be the appointment of special counsel, right, in the Department of Justice matters. So a couple of things. One is, if that were to happen, and it is not, and again, he's trying to this very, very down the middle of the road approach on things. He is under oath. He's provided sworn testimony. And you better believe that Donald Trump and his children then would be in very big trouble. I would assume that the DA would then turn around at some point, present this to a New York grand jury to present that evidence, which gets to my first point, which is, if that was going to happen, you would have heard about that already. The prosecutors plainly have spent a lot of time with Weisselberg, talking with him. I'm sure they have had the same gnashing of teeth that we're talking about right now about how he's going to say these things to try to implicate himself, but not throw the Trumps under the bus, so to speak. If he had said that during the course of the pretrial matters, post-plea agreement, that's exactly what the DA was hoping, again, right months ago when we talked about this, that he would flip, if you will, which is the word for testifying against people who are in higher positions. That's what the overall plan was when Cy Vance was in that office. That plainly hasn't happened. And so the prosecutors go ahead with this trial. But still, if tomorrow or the next day there is testimony that turns all this on its head and he suddenly says, you know what, I'm going to implicate all my former and present bosses, that can be used in a future prosecution, not this one.
Right. Okay.
Charge. You don't add it on, but that could be used in a future prosecution. And again, wouldn't that be an interesting legal development in the history of America?
Jim, as you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. Weisselberg's already pled guilty to the criminal charges, but the evidence in a civil trial, it's a different standard, if I understand it properly, Counselor. Preponderance of evidence. Do you think there is a probability, based on this lower standard, that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law?
Right. So this, again, lots of things going on in New York City. Obviously, you've got Letitia James. She's doing the civil case, right, that has to do with valuations of properties. This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood. I apologize.
It is, yes.
Normally, I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right. And so it raises a very good point, which is that you can, in fact, and they've done this, they've indicted a corporation criminally. And so, again, the question is, what do you do? Well, you can't throw a corporation in jail. So there could be some significant fines here. And so that could certainly happen. And again, the Letitia James, that's the somewhat related, but a little bit different civil case. She doesn't have that prerogative. And there, of course, we also have just this past week, the appointment of this special monitor following all this with respect to the Trump properties. All of what you just said is completely applicable to that case. And we've got another person there, I would say, very appropriate to appoint someone who's going to handle the day-to-day operation of the Trump companies on transactions, monetary stuff, movements of real estate. That's the kind of thing the judge can't do. A monitor now in place, again, over the strong objection of Donald. Lots of things going on.
Would it be fair to assume that the monitor, the special monitor on the Trump properties, which is a different corporation than the ones on trial criminally, right? Many corporations are Trump entities, that special monitor would be disinclined to acquiesce to a referral or to pay out, tuition for the grandkids. Is that something that the special monitor will not do?
Absolutely. So this person, again, independent, supposed to make certain that none of the transactions are in any way suspect. No big changes in structure, nothing new, nothing different, and certainly no criminal activity of any kind. This is to maintain things in place for that day, if it comes, when there's a civil judgment entered, so that the Trump companies, there's still a there, and maybe some judgment can be taken against them, some recovery of monies. In the meantime, what Letitia James, she's asking for $250 million in that. He's asking the Trumps to be taken out of any future corporations in New York State, that all that can be preserved and nothing weird happens while all this is pending, both the criminal case and the civil case, both. Lots and lots of things going on in New York City.
Jim Santel, for just a few more minutes, although I got to wonder aloud, who's going to sign the checks to pay off the porn stars that the old man doesn't have sex with in the future? Before you ponder that, Jim, we got another good friend live via phone. She is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. A couple of big legal big shots here. Maggie.
Yeah, man, I love Fridays, man.
I like to think I'm the smartest one in the room, but I know better right now between you and Jim. You were in the room when the Enron depositions went down. You've got sort of a unique insight to corporations charged criminally, do you not, Maggie Dawn?
Oh, for sure. Now, of course, my participation was on the civil side in the multi-district class action, but the criminal prosecutions had led in those cases, and then the civil, those massive pieces of litigation followed. And certainly, it will be instructive to see what happens and how the jury reacts to Alan Weisselberg's testimony. I don't find the contrite act to be persuasive when you basically completely exonerate the people that are in control of the business. That's just not how businesses are run. That is not who Donald Trump is. That's not who his family is. It's plausibly, it's on its face, it's simply implausible. But I did want to call you guys and also get some of Jim's thoughts on this. I do not think in any way, shape, or form a special prosecutor was needed. But the reason it wasn't needed is that Democrats and Democratically appointed attorneys general, and with a Democrat in the White House, the Department of Justice will behave as it should. We know that that didn't happen with Donald Trump and Bill Barr at the helm. We know that political prosecutions were, in fact, pursued. That includes that also included basically replacing U.S. attorneys that were not compliant with Bill Barr's directives. So I think the reason, one of the key reasons could be, if you look at a candidate, not just Trump, but someone like Ron DeSantis, who has gone about removing district attorneys in his state. And what did the Republicans just here in Wisconsin announce that they have the power to do here? Which is remove judges, impeach various public servants. So the concern about how the Department of Justice would be governed effectively, despite what the norm should be, I think is maybe one of the, if not the motivating concern.
Maggie Dawn, hold that thought. We'll have you stick around. Jim Santel, thank you so much, man. We'll let you get ready for Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Listen for Jim in the Morning.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I am coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there in the airways, because a lot of time where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 33 overnight. Under clear skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 55 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Overcast skies tomorrow night, chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 37. Highs level off around 40 Sunday, with a chance for scattered showers, 40 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, you can hit us up with CJ. And you're going to have to wait till Monday, man.
CJ, because I wouldn't take the entirety of your troll call, CJ showed up here at the Devil Radio Studios in Madison. And of course, he's not ever going to get in the door here. I'm not letting that guy in. So he taped on my glass window here, Dom, a little missive question for the Devils from their number one t-shirt winner. CJ swears to this day he was the very first guy that ever got a Devil's Advocates t-shirt. So, I mean, the Republicans have known we were a target since way back, Dom.
And CJ, for the record, number one, if you have it, please wear it. And does it still fit? And send us a picture. That way we'll know.
Here is what his message is. Tag board, he's got to have 5 minutes and, you know, like 45 cents in this message, Dom.
Well, plus the drive time.
If you care about justice accountability, why doesn't A.G. Garland and the Devils and Santel and Flynn care about the big guy bought and paid for by China? And then he has a few other little messages here. Matt Flynn's motto was a lie. Dueling tangents, chickens. Tom Hartman can't defend his argument. And with love, God bless America's number one, CJ. I wish our friend Maggie Dawn were here in studio with us. She's on the phone. Let's go to her. Maggie, CJ sends his love.
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for calling in.
I love notes like taped in the studio window that sort of look like a very disturbed stream of consciousness.
At least he didn't cut it out of magazines. It's not like a ransom note.
Yeah, <right. laughs> that would take way too long.
And he doesn't read, so he doesn't have magazines. So
yeah, avoid that print media. The online stuff is much, much more reliable.
How you been, sister?
I'm good. Struggling with a little bit of a cold. It was certainly a big couple of week and a half here in Milwaukee County with the election. And we just finalized a budget yesterday. So really, really proud of that work and glad to be through this big push in the beginning of November.
Maggie Dawn, we're always proud of your hard work. We'd be more proud if you'd do a radio show for us to get around here. Come on, sister. What's it going to take? Now that we got you on the air, can we cajole you?
You may just be able to do that, Mike, because this is about to be an incredibly important 2 years leading up to 2024, no doubt. And that indeed was the root of sort of my moment of equipoise about the appointment of a special prosecutor. And that is, Republicans have shown an utter loss of any moral center when it comes to using the tools of government to effectively persecute and prosecute, right, their political enemies. And it is gaslighting. That's what Donald Trump claims. And it's not a persecution if you actually did these things. If you actually committed the crimes, you're not being persecuted. You're being appropriately prosecuted, sir. Right. And that's the difference here. So, you know, we've seen many of these U.S. attorneys come out since exiting the Trump administration. I believe the last gentleman that wrote a book on this very subject, his name is Berman, out of the Southern District of New York, refused to step down under pressure from Bill Barr because he knew effectively the patsy that Bill Barr wanted to put in place to stymie the investigations of the Trump Organization that were occurring in the Southern District. So we know that this happened under Trump, and I don't think Ron DeSantis gives us any reason to think he would not do similarly. And so I think observing what happens with the Republican Congress right now on the House side, they're not interested in observing norms, right? They just want to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop, right? That is it. They want to talk about what I like to call non-issue distractions, invented things, to try to slow down the work of Congress while simultaneously doing absolutely nothing to address inflation or any of the environmental concerns.
Any of the things they ran on, quote unquote, Maggie.
Correct, my friend. So I understand why Garland took this step. In other words, if we do this now, if a Republican gets into the White House in 24, you know, again, their hypocrisy knows no bounds, but at least there would be a standard marker there. And I think most people could understand that pretty simply. But we shall see. I agree with Jim wholeheartedly that this should not slow down the prosecutorial and investigatory process with respect to the Mar-a-Lago documents, as well as Donald J. Trump's direct involvement in the phone calls. And the phone calls that he made in those 3 hours and what, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes? Like, what was the guy doing in the dining room? We know what.
Right.
It should not.
Maggie.
But, Maggie, I think there's a probability that this additional step, this special counsel, will slow down this process. I don't think it's going to speed it up. Am I wrong in some way? I mean, when you add a whole nother character and a whole nother chapter, not going to make it go faster.
There's no way it makes it go faster. The question becomes, how much does it slow it down, right? I share Jim's concern about that. That's why my initial reaction is, why is he doing this? This is completely unnecessary. I would think by this time, and Jim alluded to this, they've been investigating for over 2 years. I would think they have a fairly tight mastery of the facts right now, and either those facts bear out the basis for criminal prosecution or they don't. And again, I agree with Dominic that this isn't precedent setting because we probably won't see this again, but that doesn't prevent folks from attempting to assert these kinds of arguments to avoid prosecution. And of any crimes that we should be looking at and prosecuting vigorously, crimes committed that target our political systems and processes, that attempt to place the rich and powerful above the law, should be the crimes of the highest priority. Our justice system has misallocated its resources to target all kinds of, frankly, misdemeanor-ish crimes that don't strike at the heart both the sanctity of our democratic system and our overall societal safety levels, right? And these are the sorts of crimes that all attention should be given. So I hope they throw as many people at this as they need to try to keep the pace up here and avoid getting into the situation where you might have a potential sitting president and a DOJ that has to withhold charges because of that.
Maggie Dawn, I can give you 30 seconds for your grievance of the day, sister.
Oh, my grievance of the day.
Yeah, 30 seconds, don't forget.
The Wisconsin Republicans now making hay about the fact that they can impeach and remove judges and district attorneys. It's a dark day when that occurs.
Maggie, always a great day when you join us here on the Devil's Advocate.
Thanks, Maggie. I'll be at the coin in 10 minutes.
Sounds good, guys. Y'all take care.
Maggie, have a wonderful weekend. Too. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, including our fine guest, James Santel. He goes live tomorrow morning, 9 to 11. Tune in on the Civic Media app. Then Badgers kick off at 11. They're going to beat the Cornhuskers. I guess I owe you 20 clams.
It's all right, man. Don't worry about it.
Good luck collecting them.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend. Native Roots Radio. Then Heathman Brothers going out in Madison, giving you all the Packer recap of a sad loss, brutal loss to the Titans.
Glorious clams.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding
WFHR,
America.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.